Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribal Wisdom Radio, your marriage support network. Tune in for all things love, marriage, and family. We are devoted to love. Here we go.
Here we go, indeed. Once again, we are here for another hour of Tribal Wisdom Radio. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston. Happy Wedding Wednesday. We are talking this month about love and marriage, all things love and marriage. Tonight we had a wonderful pre-show Twitter chat, and we're about to have a wonderful show where we're talking about marriage and business. This is our Couples and Business segment, and we're talking with Sean and Christina Hill about how, or rather, six things to consider before going into business together. This is a very important topic because we have so many couples who either are in business before they get married or decide to start a business after they get married. And sometimes it wins and sometimes it loses. We want to talk about ways to make it a win-win for the couple in general. This couple has been in business together for quite some time now. They are the owners of Unique Beauty. I'm going to have them come on and tell you all about it. But we're definitely going to recap some of the things that we had on Twitter tonight, some of the things we heard, some of the things that were shared on Facebook while we were tweeting, some of the questions. And you're going to have, it's going to be a great time. So let's just bring them in. Hey, guys, are you there?
We're here.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. That was kind of like a whirlwind happening on Twitter just then.
I loved it. So much good information, so much involvement. That was so much fun.
It was. And there were a lot of answers and questions to some of the things that we were talking about from other participants, which I thought was great. And actually, I want to take this moment to say thank you to Yellow Bugs Matchmaker for joining us in the Twitter chat. I guess she might be on the line. If you are on the line, please make sure that you press the number 1 to let us know that you have a question or a comment, but wait just about 20 or 30 minutes while we get into the wonderful information that this couple is about to give us about six things to consider before going into business together. Sean and Christina, please, one of you, I don't know which one of you, please tell us who you are, where you're from, and what it is you do.
Okay, well, I'm Christina Hill. I am originally from the great state of Iowa, and we are currently residing in Dallas, Texas, and I am a Unique consultant. We distribute skincare products, mostly naturally based, and makeup and what creams and lotions and mascaras, number one seller. With the green tea fiber lashes, so that's a natural product. And it's been a lot of fun, and my husband's joined on forces with me and helping us grow and get us out there, and it's been a lot of fun.
Nice. How long have you two been in business together?
Oh, man, this is we've had several smaller businesses before this one. We've been in almost 6 months, and it's taken off. I've went from 4 different levels within the business in 3 months, so that's exciting. And I think a lot of that's due to him coming on board and helping me out. And there's about 4 more levels to go to be one of the top earners in network marketing. So it's been a lot of fun, and it's helped me grow as a businesswoman as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we know that businesses have many reasons to succeed or to fail, but when you are a couple in business, when you live together and work together, it could be a little more stressful and cause a few extra stresses on a business. I want to talk with you guys tonight about how you have come to manage that and still remain in so much love, because the love is clear between you two. I can't wait to share some of the comments Christina said on Twitter tonight, and we're going to talk about that later.
Watch out. This is a different conversation. Let's not talk about that.
I love it. Let's let's talk about the first point of how do you resolve any issues that you're having before getting into business together? What type of chat, what type of talk should you be having before you decide to get into business?
Well, I think that's where your communication comes in. If you're stressed out, you're arguing, and you're having all kind of conflict before you even conceive of an idea of going into business, you have to work through that first, because a lot of people think just like having a child will bring them close together. Hey, honey, what if we started making, you know, money together? What if we started having a business together and we started spending more time together doing the business? That sounds great in theory, but in practicality, what actually happens is, just like with a child, business can be stressful. Business can be stressful if you have a loving relationship and everything's going well. It provides its own stresses. So you really have to sit down and say, hey, sweetheart, let's put the business to the side. How well do we communicate? What issues do we have, in regards of doing any type of business together? Work those out, and if you can't work those out or work through those, then you don't need to be in business together, because the only thing that business will do is magnify your differences, and it will become almost impossible.
Okay. Christina, you can chime in on this one.
Well, yeah, I do believe that communication is number one, and you do need to sit and discuss any issues prior to starting a business. I really recommend, because I've heard a lot of different people start, especially in network marketing. It's easy to sign up a lot of times and get into a business and before you even discuss it with your partner. And I believe that's key for everyone, is to discuss it prior to beginning anything with each other, be it a child, like Sean said, or a business, because it does have its own separate list of stressors. Every day there is a new stressor. Even though I enjoy what I do immensely, getting up every day, and I also have we both have a 9-to-5, and so putting in an extra, 5-6 hours on the business at night, it can take away from your relationship. So if the relationship is not already strong, you have a lot of issues, because we spend about an hour a day together, just us time, Monday through Friday. And if your relationship's in trouble, you need more than an hour together. And with the business, Sean will be in the office and I'll be in another office, and we're both working on different aspects of the business. And so when problems or anything arise, then we set a meeting like you would at a regular 9-to-5 to discuss those issues and problems. So, yes, you have to have everything laid out on the table prior to starting a business, because it does take away time from your personal life.
Yes, and let me just add one thing to what Chris said. One thing you do not want to do, and I don't care what type of business it is jump in, come home and say, hey, honey, guess what? We started a business, because I tell you what, that is a quick way to get on the couch for a long time. So,
and we are speaking from experience.
Yeah, so you do not want a word to the wise. Do not start the business first and then say, oh, she'll get over it. Oh, she'll just love this. Always, always, always talk about it before you decide to even think about starting a business.
Well, go on.
I'm sorry.
No, go on.
They also be upfront about your finances. You have to realize where you are financially, because a lot of folks won't go out for a business loan. They'll start it up with their own money. So that's another thing. You need to make sure your finances are in order prior to starting. Yes, you can struggle and try to make it before doing that, but that, again, puts a lot of stress on the marriage.
Well, when you guys sat down to have a discussion, well, maybe you didn't, because after the revelation Sean just told us.
Hey, Mama said a word to the wise is sufficient. It only has to happen one time.
That's it. So after you learn that lesson and you ask for forgiveness instead of permission, what conversation do you have about the type of business that you want to get into together and that you want to work in together?
Well, what we did, because I had an opportunity to go into the business that Sean was currently in at that time. And then my sister actually approached me with the opportunity that we're doing now. And to see what fit both of our personalities, where we could take this business, what was the vision for it. We wrote down some goals, things to think about, and compared it to the other business. And that's basically what we did. We, did the pros and cons of each business and how we could do it together.
I like something that you just said, because we did not mention that. You said that you sat down and wrote goals together. What kind of goals? What are the list of goals that a couple should have in common? Since you're supposed to be working together on one accord and all those wonderful things. What are important goals that you should be in agreement with?
Well, I think one of the things that's really important for us is we created a vision board of the type of lifestyle that we want to have and the type of lifestyle that we want to live. And I think you have to have a vision of what you're reaching for. One of the main things that we did as part of writing our goals is wrote down our why. Why are we doing this? Because when things get frustrating, when the business isn't booming like you wish it would, you have to draw back on that why to remind you, why am I doing this? Why am I taking time away from my family? Why am I doing this particular business? So that would be two things. Share a vision board, create it together, write down your why. And then, the type of goals that you'd want to write down is, something specific. I want to be rich is really not a goal. That's just a desire. Anybody can say that. One of the goals that I put in that we wrote down is I want to retire Chris from corporate America by April of 2015. See, that's nice. Something specific. It's time-bound. It's measurable. It's achievable, I believe it's achievable. And when you have those type of qualities, you don't have just this vague, I don't like working for somebody else. I want to be my own boss. Well, my goodness, everybody likes to say that. But unless you have something that's specific, then it's not going to work. What I'd also suggest is don't have too many of them. You don't want 10 goals because you'll be all over the place. Two or three specific goals that you can work on, I think is going to be the key.
Yeah, like you said, you want something measurable. And then if you have just two or three goals, once you knock those three out, then you can set new goals for your future. Yes, we all have an end plan. I do believe in having an end vision goal for us. Ours looks like us both going around speaking, and I love working with women. I love being involved with women. To uplift and empower women. That's a goal for me, to one day have a retreat. So in between that end goal and the current situation, you set many goals, like Sean said, that are measurable to get you to that end goal. His end goal is also to speak to men and to have a retreat. And so our visions coincide. They come in together. So that's what we work towards. We work towards that final thing that we feel called to do ultimately.
Excellent. I love what I'm hearing, because you're talking about basically creating a family brand. I know that people say marriage and business are not the same thing, but the blueprint for business that you guys have put together, you're also applying to your marriage, so that the communication is there, the goal setting is there, the branding of where you want, the type of family you would like to have, and where you're going with it. I think it's an excellent model to follow.
Thank you.
Well, nice. It's worked for us so far, and we believe it's going to keep working.
I believe it too. Let me get back over to what Christina said. Give me one second. I'm going to find it about what she said about the wonderful questions that we were posting on Facebook. For our listeners, we were posting some questions on Facebook, one being, what types of things should a couple consider before they go into business, which the Hills just answered. How do you determine what role each of you will play in that company? That is a question that we could definitely discuss right now. Sean, your thoughts?
Well, I think it's so similar to what you said about a marriage. Each has its role that they're more comfortable to, that they're more suited to, that they're better equipped for. And a lot of it doesn't have to be the traditional roles. You know, both my Chris and I, we're both Christian, and so we have a certain set of beliefs in how we govern ourselves, how we govern our business, and how we conduct ourselves. I'm, as you can tell, I'm more of the talkative of the two, so I'm more of the out there, you know, pressing flesh type person, and that's kind of my role in the business. Chris is more of the planner, the more of the, you know, hey, honey, we have to get this done. I'm the big picture guy. I'm the big vision. Oh, let's just do it this way, baby. And, boy, this is going to be great. And she's more of the, okay, that's great, but we need to make sure that this and this is taken care of. And I think when you have that blending of roles and strengths and skills, it works if you respect each other. If you don't respect each other, those type of things can cause conflict, because I'm trying to create a vision for us, and I may look at you as holding us back if I don't respect what you're saying. So respect is key.
And then also, I'm married late in life, so mm-hmm. I'm 42 now, mm-hmm. and so I had my own home, I had a career, you know, all these things prior to Sean. So I already had that very independent, strong woman thing going on for myself. So coming to a marriage, being able to be with someone that respected my strength, and then me in turn respecting his strength. And like we said, we have a Christian household, so I do believe that my husband is the head of the household, but that does not mean that I am second place, or my thoughts and my dreams, my vision for myself aren't as good as his. You know, mm-hmm. You really have to look at each other's strengths. And we have a traditional household. Like, I love to cook. That's just a thing for me. But I hate to do laundry and dishes, so he does that.
I get laundry and dish patrol, and I love to eat, so that works real good.
Yeah, so with our business, we look at the same thing with our business. He's really the talker and the people out there, people person. I'm more the one-on-one. I like to get to know you. And then that's when I open up, and that's when I like to work with you and to set goals and plans. And I'm the planner, like you said, of both of us, and mostly the financial person. I'll look at our records, our books. I keep everything paid, and that's my role. So it works for us. When you respect someone else's strength, it makes your relationship and your business stronger. But if you're constantly trying to take over, you know, the whole thing, then you're going to have some issues.
Great, great, great. Okay. So how do you avoid letting your business problems enter into your personal relationship?
That's a fine line. It really is. That goes back to communication. When I feel that, because Sean loves to come home and get on the computer and shut the door, I need that, you know, first few minutes of before when we come home from work, that time for us. And so, I felt like it was getting too much out of control, I just talked to him. I said, hey, you know, this isn't working for me. And you have to sometimes put your feelings, you know, when someone needs to talk to you and discuss it and be real with you, sometimes your little feelings are going to get hurt, you know, but that's when you can really talk to one another and really discuss those issues. I just came to him. I said, hey, you know, this isn't working for me. I need for us to do this first. And he said, okay, so let's set a time. And at first I was like, let's set a time to spend together? Like, that really rubbed me the wrong way. So we discussed that. I was like, no, mm-mm. But as I could see, I had to give a little. You have to be willing to give a little. And then you also have to be willing to see the bigger vision for your marriage, for your business. And so we do. We come in, we have dinner, then we have that time, that hour together, and then we go and work on each part of the business. And that's what we work, that's what we do. You have to set those times to work, time to play. You have to set up those times to explore your business and even to explore yourself, you still have to. I like to do things on my own. I'm still very independent. And he does too. But, you know, so you have to find time for yourself as well. And it's a fine line. Communication is very important. And sometimes, you know, if he needs to talk to me, it may hurt my feelings a little bit. But just put your feelings sometimes on the back burner. Look at what the bigger picture is and remember what your goals are. And always do it in a loving manner. Always do it.
I love that. Now, speaking of which, I know Sean's going to say something, but Christina tweeted earlier, I love it when honey books a hotel room and we hide away from the world.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Sean. Tell the brother what to do.
Well, you know what? That's even if it's a staycation where you stay in the same town, just getting out of your normal house or apartment, it makes it special. You know, you need those times where you get away, and one of the rules is we cannot talk business. You don't talk business. We watch TV. We go out to dinner. We have just a good time. And so you need those protective times where you where that's just special. And I know a lot of preacher's kids, which my wife is a PK too, I know a lot of them, you know, have that same issue because as a pastor, they're called to do certain things, and that calling can sometimes be difficult to balance that out. And a lot of times their family suffers, and it makes it very difficult. The same thing with the business. A lot of times you're pushing so hard, and you want to have that success, and you see the goal in front of you, and it's almost like a calling, and it's a passion, and you love doing it. Sometimes it's hard to pull that back and say, okay, the key point is the relationship. The reason I'm doing all this is because I want to spend more time with you. And you can't get away from that. So, you know, every now and then, maybe every quarter or, you know, something like that, we'll, you know, rent a hotel. We'll just get away, just have honey time and just really reconnect and refocus. And you know what? We come back stronger than ever.
Mm-hmm. Because I tell them, you know, you don't want to get to the goal and then the relationship is falling apart. And you see that a lot when people have hit success, that they've strived so hard for as a couple. They get there, and then it falls apart. And that's because they didn't take these times out to nourish that relationship along the way. It's like a plant. You start it from a seed, and you start pouring all yourself to a plant. Then you can't just walk away and not water, continue to water and give that plant sunlight. You have to do that same thing for your relationship. Because, you know, everybody first fall in love. You're like, oh, yeah, this is wonderful. And we're together, and you're all over each other, and then stresses happen. That's the point when you still need to take out that time for one another and have that special reconnect time.
Yeah, you can't let your business become your mistress. You can't do that.
That's the truth.
Love it. The one thing that you just said is you don't want to get to the goal, and then the relationship falls apart. I think that's pretty powerful. That's a powerful statement. And so it really takes working on the relationship and the business and taking a time away from each one to make it work to get to the end together. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely. You do have to take time because one is so easy for one to just take over the other. You want to spend all your time together and then your business suffers. Then, or if you pour all yourself into your business, your relationship suffers. So you have to find that balance. And the best thing to do, and it may sound like, oh, I just don't want to live my life like that, but is to schedule time, to schedule those times together, schedule time for the business. This is the time we have for the business. This is the time we're going to work with each other. This is the time we have for ourselves. And that works wonders, and it keeps the stress at bay.
You know, what another thing, you have to be open. You know, you have to be receptive to what that other person is saying. If you become defensive, then you shut down. Communication stops. You have to be, as my wife said earlier, you have to be able to listen, to speak the truth in love, but to listen in love as well, to listen in wisdom and be able to say, okay, this person is trying to communicate with me. Let me not put my feelings on my sleeve here. Let me see, and let me, even if the words are not correct or what I'd like to hear, what's the sense behind the words? What's the feeling behind the words? And that's the key, is knowing and being respectful of that person, because what happens is if you just blow them off or you just get angry and it's, oh, well, you know what I'm trying to do. This is only for us. This is, and there's that guilt. And then what happens is the more time you come at that person like that, the less they're going to be open to you, till at some point you're just going to be existing together. You might even be great in business, but individually your relationship will just be a business partnership. You will no longer have a relationship.
And, you know, it's not always sunshine and roses. One thing that we've learned, and I do suggest everyone get some type of spiritual life, and that's because there's going to come times when you can't resolve it that day, maybe that week or that month, where you're going to need to be able to find that grounding yourself and really pour yourself into prayer or whatever you choose to ground, where you choose to ground yourself, so that that relationship can be saved, so that you can get that, gain that wisdom and come back to your partnership and be like, hey, now I'm ready to talk. Let's communicate. Let's resolve this issue. You have to have something in your life that keeps you grounded, that you can go to and get that wisdom. Also, finding mentors or people in your life that you can trust that have successful businesses and successful relationships.
Yes.
Go to someone who you can get good, solid advice from. Have those people in your life as well.
Get mentors that have successful businesses and successful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if your girlfriend or friend are having problems, you don't go to them and ask about your marriage.
Right. No, I would not recommend that. But now, money is always the biggest issue, whether you're in business together or not. Let's talk about how you can start a business and determine where the money's going to come from, how it's going to be used, the mixing of marriage money and business money. How is it that you handle that?
Well, that is key. That's in that discussion that you have before you open the doors, before you purchase one product, before you have one advertising, before you have anything, you have to decide a budget. Okay, how much are we willing or able to put into this business? How is the money going to be spent? Who's going to take care of the money? Where is the money coming from? All these questions, I've always believed that if you have the right questions, you'll get the right answers. And I think sometimes we don't ask the right questions. We just assume things are going to go this way. Well, you're better with money, so I just assume that you would take care of that. And it's those assumptions that get us in trouble. One of the things that we always decided when we first started is we were going to have a separate business account, because we don't want to mix and mingle our money together. We want to be, for one, for tax purposes. It helps when your accountant would really appreciate you if you don't do that. But for just the logic of it, that you don't want to start pulling out money for the business and now you can't afford to pay your mortgage and the lights are getting cut off. And the opposite is true as well. So that is so key. How much are we going to spend? Where is it going to come from? What's our stopping point on spending? Because there's a lot of things you can do without spending money as far as marketing a business, but you have to have a certain point where you say, okay, this we can't spend any more than this.
All right. So if part of your goal setting is to create wealth for your family, both in relationship and in business, in money and in love, what would be your number one, or you know what, your top two pieces of advice to give to individuals who are thinking about going into business and those who've already started and they're possibly having some difficulties with it? What can you tell them?
For us, I think for the first one would be spirituality. You have to be grounded in something that you both believe in that can help you through those tough times. So there's going to be times of loss, and there's going to be times of gain in every aspect of the relationship and in the business. and you need to have that solid foundation that you both share to come together. And I think the other second one is communication. And if you do not know how to communicate, there are lots of different programs that can assist you with learning to communicate better with one another. Take advantage of those, you know, EAP through your counseling services, through your job if you have a 9-to-5. There's Toastmasters that teaches you how to speak and to understand and learn how to communicate. I think for us, I don't know, Sean, do you think that's the top two, would you say?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, those would be my top two. If I had a third one, just to throw in there and add that is just critical, is getting back to what we say, hey, remember your why. There are going to be times when you're going to be frustrated, you're going to want to quit, you want to give up, and you have to be able to reach inside your wallet, reach inside your purse, pull out that card, wherever it's at that you've written it down, and just refocus and say, you know what, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I've come too far to stop now. And you just have to push through those times, and that's the time where you have to come together. But one of the things that's really helped our relationship and marriage out is the no blame, no shame rule. And that is that we can be open and honest and raw and real with each other about our shortcomings. And one, we won't blame the other person, so I'm not going to use it as a bat to beat you over the head with it. And we won't use it to shame that person. Oh, you should have done this. You should have known better. That type of openness, once again, you have to get there as a couple. If you're not there, as you said, once those tough times will come, and they will come, once they hit, then you'll crumble. But if you have that openness where I can tell you anything, and I know that you're going to be understanding, I know that you're not going to. Now, I'm talking about sugarcoating things now. Reality is reality. If we make mistakes, we make mistakes. But if I know that the one person in the world, my partner, I can come to with openness and honesty, then no matter what goes on, we're going to make it. We're going to be okay. Even if this business is not going to be okay, we're going to be fine. And I think that's a lot of the fears that people have is that, you know, if the business fails, does the relationship fail? And we always put the relationship first. At the core of our being is our love for one another. And we can always find another business. You know, that's not that big a deal. But at the core of our being is the strength and the respect of the relationship.
I'm taking notes. I'm sitting here quiet like, wow. The core of your being is your love and strength that you have for one another. That I love to hear couples say that, because this is not something that I believe parents are saying to their children all the time. When they're having relationship talk about how they should be choosing a mate, about what to expect in marriage. And I really think it's important, which is why, of course, we do this show. But
that's right.
You really hit it on the head. The core of everything that you do is about the love and the strength of the love that you have for one another, and that is what keeps it together. And that goes along with what you said earlier, what you both said earlier, which was you don't want to get to the goal and the relationship falls apart. That is so powerful, so very powerful. So we've talked money. Let's talk a little bit about stress, handling stress. I know you wrote something, which I'm going to share in the group soon, about 5 ways to manage stress as a couple. When you said, and of course I know that Christine already told us that, you know, you booked the hotel and everything. That's cool. One of the things you said, number one, know how to relax.
Oh, yeah.
Touch on that a little bit.
A lot of times, I find it, because like with me, when I get stressed out before this, I would just hold it in and it would just wind me up, and then I would just be full of stress. I didn't really know how to just let go and relax, meaning you just don't think about the bills. You don't think about the business. You don't think about anything. You think about you stressing, realizing where you are in the moment.
Yes.
Looking at things around you, getting in touch with your senses, you know, what does the floor feel like beneath you, you know, getting that grounding yourself in the moment. And that's what helped me, that really helped me relax in distress. And being playful, you know, if you look at children when they, well, when they used to go outside and run around.
Yeah.
When we were young, we would run and run and run and just be silly with each other and just fall out at the end of the day just totally relaxed. As adults, we've got to find those moments where we're just silly and we have fun and we relax. It takes age off of your, you know, it takes off of your body and off of your relationship. It just really is an aid that everyone needs to do. Find those fun moments again. Find your inner child and have a lot of fun with that. It helps you relax. It really does.
Love that. Number two, you said, and I'll read it directly. You said, sorry, I know that was pretty stressful, but I had to get your attention. Stop. Sometimes in an argument, the easiest thing to do is to keep going. You want to make sure you're heard after all. This is a great time to stop. Give that other person some time to digest what's going on. One writer called this giving someone emotional oxygen. When we are under stress, our body changes. Our breathing gets restricted. It becomes harder to think because our brain is getting less oxygen. Stopping in the middle of an argument will allow both persons a chance to cool down. Let's talk about cooling down in the middle of an argument and making things work.
Well, that really takes self-control, because when things are heated and you're stressed and maybe you haven't slept in a few days or you're worried about the bills and things are coming due, it's really easy to start going at each other. And even though this person is here and they're the person I'm supposed to love and protect more than anybody else, sometimes that closeness, that right up on you, can be stress in and of itself. And so in the middle of someone going at each other, instead of letting that escalate, somebody has to be the bigger person and say, hey, look, timeout. We need to call a timeout. I know we think it's juvenile sometimes and we put kids in timeout, but sometimes we have to put ourselves in timeout and say, you know what, I need to check myself. I need to not keep pushing this, because a lot of times what's happening is we start talking past each other. And so now I'm not really receiving what you're saying. I'm not listening to what you're saying. I'm just waiting for you to shut up long enough so I can get in my two cents, so I can tell you how I feel. What about my feelings? And so, you know, we really have to be one person. Hopefully it's both. One person has to be the bigger person and say, okay, let's take a time out. Let's not push this. And that comes in really knowing your mates, the way they handle stress. Some people handle it by, hey, now we're not going to stop. We're going to get this talk taken care of right now, and we're going to move forward from it. Other people need that time to process what's happening in the situation, what you're saying, and to continue to push that person, gets into that fight or flight syndrome where either they feel like have to strike out, or they just withdraw, and they say, okay, you're right, whatever. And you don't want either one of those. So we have to be able to stop.
Well, okay. Let me just stop for a moment, since you said stop. That's what I'm going to do. I want to stop for a moment and invite our listeners to call in if you have a question or a comment. The number is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you have a question or a comment for tonight's guest on this topic of 6 things that you can do, or 6 ways to know whether or not a couple should be in business together. We're talking money, business and money, business and marriage, and stress. Now, we talked about, or rather you talked about, getting plenty of rest. That's another point that you brought up in your piece. Now, you would think this is simple. I know that I fall victim to it because I'm a workaholic. I'm an admitted workaholic, a recovering workaholic. And And I could turn around and sit down and start working and look up and it's 2 days later.
Yeah.
I used to think that it was just me and a couple of people, and I've come to find out that in our workaholic group meetings that that this is something that goes on often with a lot of entrepreneurs, solopreneurs. Let's talk about the importance, because I know that it definitely affected my health, which if it affects my health, it's going to affect my relationships and it's going to affect my business. Let's talk about the importance of really making sure that you and your spouse are getting rest in order to have a great relationship.
Well, just to be honest, I love to stay up at night. I'm not a morning person at all. I could stay up from now till 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and then I crash.
Christine,
which
isn't make
great.
Me think that we're related or something. Cause.
And then
I am the same way. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's so real. Something tell me you can, you'll get up or later. No, Sean has to be like, Chris, sweetheart, you need to go to bed. I mean, he just has to put me to bed. He's like, you need to go to bed. And he'll just keep telling me that until I get, I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed. And then I take my phone in there, and I'm trying to be slick. He's like, no, turn the phone off. Especially in the month, because that's when the numbers are coming in, and people are finishing up their last bits of business, and, you know, you're closing that month out. I get real excited about numbers, so I want to see those numbers. I want to see them coming in. And so he's like, no, you need to go to sleep because I still have to be at work at 7:30 in the morning.
Right.
So having someone in your life that really knows you well and it respects you enough like to and love you enough to tell you, hey, go to bed. You do. Because I love it. I haven't found that balance yet. I'm still working on that. That's one of the things I work on is taking myself, getting into bed.
Yes,
and going
workaholics unite. Workaholics unite. Come on, we can do this.
We're all there. We're all there. I wish I could say I had figured the code out myself. Just because I wrote it don't mean I do it. So I have to get more rest. Chris knows I'm not as a late night person. I'm that early morning person. I'm the one that's going to go to bed at 10 and get up at 2, get up at 3, get up at 5, just because I'm so excited about what we're doing and the lives that we're changing. I can't wait for the next day. I can't wait to get at it. And that excitement sometimes restricts my rest, and I need to get more rest. But you know how it is. When you're passionate and you love what you're doing, it's hard, but you have to do it. You have to do it.
You do, because if you don't, your business will suffer, and then all that hard work that you've put into building something can crumble when your health is out of order. And so you do have to take care of your health, and that's another part of the relationship as well, and connecting with one another. So sometimes when he's trying to get out of bed, I grab him, I don't let him out.
Wow.
I'm like, you need to sleep at least 2 more hours.
Wow. You know what? You actually give me a little hope, because I am not a morning person either, and I could not even begin to fathom marrying someone who is a morning person. I'm not sure we would have to live in separate houses. Or...
Oh, my
We just had this discussion this morning.
that is a struggle. That right there.
I'm like, how do you do, Chris? We're going to have to talk offline at some point, because you have to encourage me. Otherwise, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just like, how do you do that? How do you do that? Okay, but we're going to have just a wives chat. At some point, I'm going to have a bunch of wives come on the show and talk about the differences between the husbands and how you work it out without there being a murder scene somewhere.
It was almost a 187 this morning. I almost got murderized. I almost didn't make the show.
Who wakes up that early? It's the morning, and why?
And not just wake up that early, but wake up happy.
Yes.
Me, I grew up with my brothers and sisters, and some of us, well, I was the nocturnal one, so I could stay up late and be just jolly and happy. But the ones that wake up in the morning and they're like, hi, good morning, I was like, I will hurt you.
Back away from me if you know what's good for you.
Yes. Yes. You have to take that over, you know, take it over to mommy's room, because, you know, she has the right to kill you because she brought you here. They're going to take you to jail.
I don't understand.
So thank you for giving me hope that there are morning and evening people that can actually live together happily and still have so much fun together and show so much love.
Oh, now, yeah, keep hope alive.
Well, I think it all goes back to what we've been talking about, that is the foundation, the root of everything that we say. It's respect. See, I'm not, when I get Chris up in the mornings, because we have to go to work. On the weekends, if she wants to sleep to 10 or whatever time she never does sleep that late because she gets up. But if she wanted to sleep that late, I have enough that I need to do that I'm okay with that. And just like on the weekends, when I want to go to bed at 10 on a Saturday night like an old man, she'll let me go, and then she'll be up to 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock. But it's about having respect and not trying to conform that person into being who you are.
Yeah.
You know, you can't make that person who you are. If they're a morning person, they're going to be a morning person. If they're a night person, they're going to be a night person. And you respect each other.
Yeah, so what he does is when he gets up at the crack of dawn, he'll go into the other room and shut the door and then turn the light on so that it doesn't disturb me while I'm trying to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so today I saw some light. So that's why it's sensitive today, because I'm like, I saw some light. It's too early for the light.
I listen. I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, don't pull up the shades. Don't,
there
you
go.
Know. Don't even open the refrigerator. You know, I don't want any light coming in anywhere. So, no, I love that. I love that. Have respect and don't try to conform your spouse into what you are. That is excellent. Once again, there's a lot of hope here. There's a lot of hope, because I'm just like, wow, no, we would have to live in separate houses. Not even separate. Mama said, well, you can't even stay in separate rooms. I'm like, no, it'd have to be separate houses, Mommy. Separate houses.
Yeah, but you know, he does have a lot of respect for me, so I really don't hear him get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
He is that quiet, and that takes a lot. And then even like when I want to stay up late at night, and he'll shut the door, I turn the TV down lower so that doesn't disturb him, it's not bothering him. But that's where it comes in, that love for someone is so strong, you would do anything to please them and to show and express that love for them. And that's in the little things that we do. We sometimes take that for granted. Oh, they should be okay with this. No. If when someone tells you no and it bothers them, take that to heart and then do something about it. If you really love someone, you will make those adjustments for them. So I could stay up all night long and watch my movies. It doesn't bother him because I'm not blasting it in the middle of the night. He's getting out of bed. He's quiet. He's not rummaging through the closet and slamming doors and all of that. He goes to another room where his computer is, shuts the door, and then he turns on his light. You know,
no.
That's just cool little respect things.
Yeah, courtesy.
Yeah, common courtesy.
No,
that we take.
I again, that's great, because a slam door while I'm trying to sleep, that's a serious fight right there. That's,
oh,
you know,
exactly. Sentence. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it.
Stay away from open windows.
Okay. I'm just trying to train him. Now, if he would now just take the dog with him to the other room, because now she knows daddy's up and she wants to jump around and it's time for her to play. Now, if he takes her with him now, shut the door, we'll be real good.
Wow. See, I thought he had me fooled. I see your revenge now, Sean. I get it.
That's a dog loop on me. That's what it is.
Yes. Yes. He had me fooled, but I get it now. I see what you're up to. Guys, you know what? We talked a little bit about your business. It's great that you have a successful marriage. I love hearing, like I said, the energy between the both of you. Tell us about your business. Tell us where people can find you on Facebook, on Twitter. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can go to www.sexybiglashes.com. That'll take you right to my website. I am a unique consultant, so I distribute mostly natural products. We have everything you can imagine, from eye pigments to eye serums, everything in between, brushes, combs for, you know, to put on your makeup with natural fibers. So, and it's so much fun. I just love it. And the thing I love the most about it is because it's brought so much joy to so many women, and it's empowered women so in such a way, the way everything is designed for your business. It's brought me just so much joy. And then be able to just talk to the women and see their growth in the business, extraordinary.
And then also
reminded me to give you my email.
Yes.
Which is C as in Charlie, P as in Paul, Sparks, Sparks, 333@gmail.com.
Nice. Now, I'm going to need some mascara, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Yes, we have the world's greatest 3D mascara.
And I know your men listeners are wondering, what in the world part does he play in it? Is he wearing a mascara? No, I'm not wearing any mascara. I'm the business part of it. So one person asked me, they said, "Boy, you just don't have any problem with being in front, being behind this." I said, "Absolutely not," because once I look at the greater vision, once I look at the goal of really empowering women and helping them out, and what we do, it goes so far beyond makeup.
Oh, yeah.
It goes so far beyond the products. It goes to the opportunity to really give people a sense of independence, to give a sense of pride,
ownership
in what they're doing. And so that's more of my piece. I'm more of the person that's going to talk to people about, you know, that part of the business opportunity part, where you can get some freedom. And so that's how I fit in.
I love it. I think that most men who are confident in their marriage and confident about themselves would do the same thing. They would support their wife in a business, whether it be a beauty product or, you know, I was going to say lingerie, but what man has a problem supporting lingerie? So
that might be the next one. I don't know.
But, you know, it's wonderful to hear women on, because we have our sisterhood, I call it our sisterhood, and we chat amongst ourselves, and to hear the women say, "Hey, today I was able to retire my husband." You know, and it's like, wow, she retired her husband. You know, so it's not just, another makeup company or anything like that. This company really empowers women to have their own business and to really help their families. And it's an amazing thing to see. It's like daily you hear another woman saying, "Hey, you know, I retired my husband today," which is a big deal because a lot of times the husband's been out there really pushing it and doing it for the household, and she's been trying to help because every woman wants to feel like they matter, like they have a big part in their marriage, like they have a big part in the world and society. And that's what drove me to this company, because it gives women the empowerment part of themselves that they want so much. You know, we always talk about the Proverbs woman, and if you really read about her and who she is, she's not your housewife sitting there in your rollers and your house shoes cleaning up after the kids. She's an entrepreneur.
Yes.
If you read the word, she's out there. She's known amongst the people. She sells her linens. She takes care of her household.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we've had a lot of misconceptions about a woman's role in the household. It's not only just to sit at the house. It's to be a part of society. It's to have that entrepreneurial spirit out there. You know,
I totally agree. She absolutely retired her husband because he got to sit amongst the elders.
Yes. Right. You see the vision. And so he got to take his entire role because she was able to handle things. And growing up, my parents are older, and I've seen like what happens to a woman when her husband has taken care of everything and then he passes away. You know, as women, you have to think about that. You have to think about your household. This particular woman was lost. Mm-hmm. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know how to put gas in her car. She didn't know how to handle her bank account. You know, it was one of my mom's friends, and it was a really tragic situation. And I can just remember, I don't ever want to feel that way. Mm-hmm. I want to play a part in my household. And I'm not saying that women can't be at home and take care of their kids, because these women work from home. They're entrepreneurs. So they're not responsible for a 9-to-5, but they have their own business, you know, that – and other little girls need to see that empowerment as well, that I can do this too. I can have a family. I can have the family. I can be at home with my children. And that's what people miss about entrepreneurship, is that it gives you that chance to make your own schedule so you have more time for your family.
That is perfect. You know, I don't want you to say anything else, neither one of you, because that is like a perfect ending to the show, that, you know, that it's about empowerment, about being able to retire your husband, for him to leave the house without making any noise or turning on any lights.
okay.
And really to walk away, or rather get to the end of the day, the end of the business, with your marriage still intact. You have both your goals and your marriage. You guys have been absolutely wonderful. I really, really want to just say thank you for coming on tonight's show and joining us for the Twitter chat as well. I so enjoyed you. I really did.
Oh, thank you. We had a good time.
Well, thank you. And I know I wasn't supposed to say anything else, but I'm going to say this. Thank you so much for what you're doing. We need more programs out there like this that are celebrating relationship, celebrating love. There was a reason I had you as my business spotlight last night, because I am 100% behind what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
You are putting it out there as in regards to relationships, in regards to loving each other, and we cannot have enough people doing what you do. So kudos to you.
Yes.
We love you. You're part of our family. And you can come over late at night and hang out with Chris anytime you want.
No. You don't want to do that. See, I'm loud. I'm loud. Now.
Okay, never mind. Now take that back.
I'm loud. We're going to have to get, like, because, you know, I'm a bit of a nerd, so I like, you know, Iron Man. We're going to have our own compound where we can go downstairs into the compound and cackle and crack up and have a good time and don't disturb you. Say that again, Christina.
Oh, yeah, I'm all for Iron.
Yes.
Iron Man.
Yes, so if I'm coming over, you're going to have to, Christina, get to work, because he needs a compound. We need a compound. So let's get some more mascara sold.
There you go. Buy the mascara.
All right, to our listeners, we had a wonderful time tonight, and we hope that you did too. Please join us next week for another episode of Tribal Wisdom for the month of love and marriage, where we're going to be talking with Stephanie Tucker, who's going to give us 7 lessons from a first marriage. Stephanie was married at the age of 31 to a minister and became a mother of 2 small children. The marriage was full of emotional, verbal, and spiritual abuse that later would turn physical. Determined to fulfill the Proverbs 31 woman blueprint, she stayed. After losing her hair, falling into depression, getting sick, and so much more, she decided to leave the marriage. 10 years later, she felt renewed, revived, and remarried to the one whom God designed for her. She's going to talk about the 7 lessons learned from a first marriage. I can't wait to hear her story. I can't wait for you to hear her story. So return next week, 9:30 p.m. as usual, for Tribal Wisdom by Bridal Tribe. And we hope to see you then.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Tribal Wisdom. Stop by bridaltribe.com and visit our media page for full recaps of every show, amazing articles, and free downloads. We have an ever-growing library of knowledgeable guests with vital information for any stage of your relationship. At Tribal Wisdom, we are order and excellence in action, and we are devoted to love.